Hi, Paul Fackus, Good News Planet. I'm here with Ann Archer. Hi, Ann. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Okay. Oscar-nominated Golden Globe winner, Ann Archer. And she has a heck of a resume of great, great work in the world of media and do-good world. And I believe her husband, Terry Jastro. Hi, Terry. How are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good. Also in the media world, communications, a long time with ABC Sports, a multiple Emmy-winning director and producer. And we're going to talk about things that are very important here. It says here when Hollywood gets political, but I guess, I don't know whether it's Hollywood, it's really when people get political or show concern or care about the world around us are in politics. So you'll tell me what you want to talk about, and let's help our audience understand what your thoughts are. And I love this organization that I guess you started, Artists and Human Rights. So
yeah,
a lot of good things going on there.
My organization, Artists for Human Rights. But Terry has written a book which stands on its own and is not part of my organization. But of course, it the subject matter ends up touching upon human rights of the world. So, darling, I'm sure you can elaborate on that much better than I.
Yes, well, I've written my first novel, Paul, as you say, after many years of doing sports events, Super Bowls, Olympic Games, Wide World of Sports, etc. I've written and directed movies and plays, and I finally got around to writing my first novel. It'll be published on August 1st, and it's titled The Trial of Prisoner 043. And basically, it's a story. Obviously, it's a fiction, it takes place in the future, and it imagines that George W. Bush is abducted off a golf course in Scotland and transported to the International Criminal Court in The Hague to stand trial for war crimes, of which he's accused, of course, in connection with the Iraq War. So it's a fairly important subject, this whole question of war and peace and the sanctity of human lives. And unfortunately, from someone who really loves America, I think we fight too many wars, and some of them are unnecessary, and they're all massively destructive. And I think we should. I don't think anybody would say that all wars are unnecessary, because that, of course, wouldn't be legitimate. One can look at World War I or World War II for sure, wars that had to happen. But I believe that in a very strong military to protect and defend America and our allies, and not to invade and conquer, like we were trying to do, let's say, in Vietnam and maybe even in some cases in Iraq. So that was the basis for launching out and writing this book.
Great. Super duper. And our audience, I don't know if you're aware, but we are involved with the International Day of Peace since 2002. We do events in Central Park. I create the largest human peace sign in Times Square. On September 21st, 193 countries of the UN agreed for a day of peace. So, and I think I mentioned previously, we're coming out to L.A. to give a Good News Peace Day award to a Love International Film Festival. So what is in your soul, I think, in both of your souls, is really good news for us. So let me ask you some book kinds of questions. Why a book?
Well, because the story was of such scope and of such density that I thought that a novel was the appropriate form. I think and certainly hope that eventually it makes its way to either a multiple episode television series, or perhaps even a movie. But I thought that the issue could be set out and consumed by the audience most easily in a book. I would say, Paul, that I tried very hard and am fairly comfortable that I was successful in it to advocate for both sides equally. The book in no way defames or is disrespectful of George W. Bush. On the contrary, we try to be very thoughtful and advocate for both sides of the question, so the audience could and the reader could decide for themselves with regard to innocence or guilt.
Well, that's a wonderful comment. I believe any time that somebody's speaking, in essence, about a war, someone's pointing a finger and sometimes forgetting that there's then a finger pointing yourself. Well, why did you do that? Is this your modus operandi, as they say? Is this the way you live in life, that you feel we're all in it together, so share a total picture in your mind?
Yes, absolutely. I love America. My family's a descendant. They originally arrived here on the Mayflower, and I'm a descendant of the second president of the United States, John Adams. I love my country, but I just think we fight too many wars, and we spend a huge percentage of our treasury on military activity and waging wars on the other side of the world that are useless and damaging. We have so many things in our great country that should demand our attention. Poverty, obesity, illiteracy, the crumbling infrastructure, the erosion of the middle class, a huge, nearly unimaginable debt. Real problems that our culture faces. I mean, and the disparity of the American dream and the thought. And we need to worry less about being the Democrats and Republicans and focus again where we used to about being Americans. So I just feel that so much of our time and treasury is spent on waging wars that are useless and damaging and perhaps even illegal, and we ought to focus more on the betterment of the American people in our country.
All right. I love this. Congratulations. It's and where will we be able to get the book, and how are you releasing it?
Well, thank you. The published date is August 1st. And it'll be available everywhere books are sold. It's the trial of prisoner 043. It can be purchased in advance of the publication on Barnes & Noble and other websites, Amazon, etc. But it'll be available in bookstores and everywhere books are sold starting August 1st.
Let me ask you one more question about the book, and then I'd like to ask Ann a few things, if that's okay.
Sure.
What do you feel will be one of the good things we're going to learn from reading your book?
I think that the existence of the International Criminal Court is hugely important in our culture. It was created by the United Nations, as I may have mentioned earlier, and it stands above all national courts. When those national courts are unwilling or unable to try suspected people who are suspected of criminal activity, and it's important because so many heads of state and powerful people are not going to be brought to justice by their own country. But we have in existence now the International Criminal Court, which came of force in July of 2002. So as an example, George W. Bush's war, which was waged in March of 2003, he becomes the first leader of a superpower subject to international criminal law. I think that everybody needs to understand that there is an international criminal court and how important it is that we're aware of it and that we support it and that it lives and thrives because, over all of our time, we've had heads of state that have created tremendous havoc in our culture, and there needs to be a place where they are held accountable, and we have such a thing and needs to be supported.
All righty. Let me ask Ann a question, and thank you for staying on. I know you're busy with the house right now, and it's a valuable time. So tell us whatever you feel like you would like to share. I did mention earlier the Artists for Human Rights, but anything you feel like sharing with the audience?
Well, I think in relation to my organization and then Terry's book, I think my organization's purpose is to raise awareness of human rights by promoting the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And we do a lot of activities involving artists and activists meeting together. We do salons where we have very prominent individuals who are activists and have organizations all over the world to talk about what is happening in different parts of the world and what they're doing about it. And my awareness of the various human rights issues has obviously become pretty acute. And when Terry started writing this book, the thing that I felt was so important about it is that it's not that America doesn't go in and try and conquer other countries. We are a democracy, and this is a great thing. But with the fear and sometimes the excuse of, you know, with Vietnam it was communism, and in Iraq it was weapons of mass destruction. We use these tools to go in, these reasons to go in and get involved in what turns out to be a massive war with a tremendous loss of life. And so the sad thing is that there is a disregard for human beings. And when I think of the women and children and families that have died in the Middle East because Bush was fearful there were weapons of mass destruction and went in under the false premise that there were when there weren't, and the problems we have in the Middle East today, which all started with that war, I think it becomes a huge human rights issue. And that's why I think Terry's book is terribly important, because he really addresses it at the International Criminal Court, so we can look at it from both sides, and the audience, the reader, can make up his own mind.
It's undoubtable. I don't know if that's the word. Over 160,000, maybe more, civilians have died in that war.
That's
civilians,
right.
Poor
and it's
people,
still going on.
And still going on. It is such a shame. The little boys want to fight. Go into a room and beat the crap out of each other. Leave everybody else alone.
Yeah,
right,
but Paul, in addition to, it's exactly the numbers, can be much higher. In fact, you hear estimates as much as 1 million people, yes. Iraqis and Americans, killed in that war. But on top of it, the United States has spent between $4 and $5 trillion. Now, for those of us who don't deal with numbers of that magnitude, a trillion has 12 zeros. It's 100 billion. And think of what we could use, we could do to use that money to help them, the people of not only America but the world, with education and security and opportunity. It's really a tragedy, and it has to be dealt with. We need to learn from the past to protect ourselves in the future.
All righty. Well, Peace Day is our outreach, International Day, September 21st, 193 countries agreed to it. We're hoping to get the president to say something in Times Square also. And we're working on, you know, that as you are. I'd be happy to support your book, your release, and Anne and your project. Let me ask you two last questions. You both are do-gooders. And here's my two quick questions. What's good news for you? Terry, what would be good news for you?
Oh, wow. Peace on earth. Sorry for it. Yeah, but there's no reason why we can't dream about it and advocate for it. But I love that the artist, I think it's the power of the people, the voice of the people can actually, do everything that is possible in mankind to stop the war. And I don't think none can galvanize the people better than the artist. So I love when artists step up and they advocate for peace and love and security and all those things as opposed to war.
And what's good news to you? What would be good news to you?
I think, you mean, what would be good news for me? If someone...
What is good news? What it would be either way?
Yeah, if we were to have a president and a Congress that made human rights the number one issue, put it at the top, and looked through that lens at every action that government takes in our own country and around the world and respect human life and, you know, really stand up for human rights and embrace the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. If we embrace the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and we really held ourselves and the rest of the world accountable, it would be a far better world. So that
okay, I'm going to include... I agree with you. I'm going to include the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is on Good News already, but I'm going to also include it specifically into this story. Let me ask you the last question is, what does peace mean to you, Ann Archer? I've asked thousands of people.
Peace means to me that people get along and respect their differences, and when they don't have differences, that the first and major action is to communicate, and the second and major action is to communicate, and the third, in other words, communication is the universal solvent. If we don't try and communicate with our enemies, we never can come to any kind of understanding. That includes Congress, by the way. I mean, there just needs to be a real effort to work together to resolve differences. So.
Okay, I'm with you, Terry Castro. First, lastly, congratulations on your upcoming book release, and what does peace mean to you?
I think I'm going to go with Ann Archer. She's smarter and better at this than I am. But I love the idea of each of us helping each other, not so single-dimensional about our own lives, but flowing power, flowing love, flowing support to each other. And I love the idea of communication. I think communication is king. The more we do, the better chance we have. But when we stop communicating, we're heading down the wrong path.
All righty. Thank you so much for sharing good news with us. Best of luck with the book, and we're here for you to help support whatever you guys are doing. Thank you
so much, and thanks for what you do as well, Paul.
Yes, thank you, Paul.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.